And I'll invite you tonight to take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 16. 2 Samuel chapter number 16. Didn't know how I was going to feel after having the procedure done, so I had a backup plan in place, but I feel fine, so we're going to go with plan A. Plan A is for me to do my thing right here, see. I hate it when I can't do it, so. 2 Samuel chapter number 16 tonight, and many of you probably remember the late radio personality Paul Harvey. He was one of my favorite to listen to on the radio. I loved to listen to his news broadcasts. He had a very distinctive style about him. But he also had a radio program where he would tell a story about someone and fill you in with details you may not have known. And in the end, he would reveal who the person was that he was talking about. And he'd say, now you know the rest of the story. Well, that's what kind of what like tonight is. Here we see two people that we've already met in some of our previous studies, but we're given some later details that come to light, and these two personalities that we've met are Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, and Ziba, who was Jonathan's servant. We're just going to deal with the first four verses tonight of chapter 16. So 2 Samuel 16, let's read verse number 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, now get the picture, David is on his way out of Jerusalem. He has gone up to Mount Olivet, and by that way, Absalom has already gone into Jerusalem, and so he's fleeing. When David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. He's talking about Mephibosheth here. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Now, we've previously seen David's covenant with his friend Jonathan. Just going to remind you of some of the things that we've seen in 1 Samuel and up to this point in 2 Samuel. But we saw how that David had a covenant with his friend Jonathan. They were close friends, even though Saul, Jonathan's dad, was trying to kill David and had David on the run. And we know that there was a relationship there that was very close between them. And it was so close, in fact, that David gave his word that he would show kindness to Jonathan when he came to power. Jonathan knew that it was in the Lord's hands for David to be the next king. He knew that rightfully, because of the Lord is the one that was going to place him there, that David was to be the king. Now, if he wanted to be like the world, he'd have said, wait a minute now, Saul's my dad. When Saul's off the scene, I'm king. But he didn't do that. But he just asked David, said, show me kindness of the Lord that I die not. He said that in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verses 14 through 17. He said, but also, thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. And of course, Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son, and it would extend there. Now, we previously seen Jonathan's death in the battle that killed Saul and made David king. Over in the very last chapter of 1 Samuel, chapter 31, we know that the Philistines fought against Israel in the Mount Gilboa area, and Saul and three of the Saul's sons, including Jonathan, were killed in that battle. And we've seen the first mention of Jonathan's son Mephibosheth and how he became lame in his feet when the lady that was taking care of him, he was just five, just a kid. And when the tidings came that Saul and Jonathan were dead, she figured out that they're probably going to be trying to come find Mephibosheth too. So she takes him and she flees with him, and in the process of fleeing, he takes a fall and he became lame in his feet. So Mephibosheth was lame, and we've seen how Mephibosheth was remembered by David according to his covenant with Jonathan. We spent a good amount of time taking a look at that in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. We know how David sent for him, brought him into his house, and said, "You're going to eat at my table." When Mephibosheth was probably shaking in his boots at the time, thinking that here the king has called me, and you know, surely he's going to kill me. Surely, you know, my day is done. But he fell on his face and did reverence to the king, and he said, David said, "Don't fear, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And then the king called Ziba. Ziba had been Saul's servant, okay? And not Jonathan's, but Saul's servant. Well, Saul's off the scene. Ziba's there. And David said, "Hey, look, you used to work for Saul, now you work for Mephibosheth." He said, "I've given unto thy master's son," talking about Mephibosheth, even though he's a grandson, they call them sons. Anybody in the line could be called a son, even a great your son of you descended from them. So he said, "I've given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house." And we know that Ziba had 15 sons, and he had 20 servants. And then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." Now, I don't think he was real keen on doing it, but he said he was going to do it. And so all that dwelt in the house of Ziba, they were servants unto Mephibosheth. All their work that they did, all the fruits that they had that come in, I'm sure that, yeah, they were allowed to eat their portion, whatever, but all the profits went to Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth really didn't need to eat of those fruits because he was eating at David's table. And we saw how that was a wonderful true story of David's love for his friend Jonathan and his keeping of that covenant with him by his care for Mephibosheth's son, Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son. So it's often used as a picture of the unworthy and an incapable unbeliever finding grace in the eyes of our covenant-keeping God. However, that's not the end of the story. Okay, today we look here at 2 Samuel 16, and we see that on the part of Ziba, there becomes betrayal and slander. Betrayal and slander. I want us to take a look at Ziba's betrayal and slander of Mephibosheth. We saw in the last chapter how David has fled from Jerusalem with his family and friends. He's on the run from his own son. That had to be tough. He loved his son. But he's running. Absalom has betrayed him. Absalom has stolen the hearts of those of Israel. And Absalom has actually even moved into Jerusalem based on the last verse of the previous chapter. And notice verse 37 says, "So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem." So he's there in Jerusalem and taking possession of the throne. And here in the first verse of 2 Samuel 16, we see Ziba, the one that David had made to be the servant of Mephibosheth to keep all of the property and wealth of Jonathan that was returned to his son. And here he is meeting up with David and his entourage with all this food. with all these donkeys, with this wine, and he comes with a story. The story is that David asked him what he brought the provisions for, and he said, "You know, in so many words, I brought them for you and your people." And David asked the obvious question, "Where's Mephibosheth?" As Ziba betrayed Mephibosheth here in verse 3 by slandering him before David, by telling David that Mephibosheth is plotting to take over the throne. Now, on David's part, David should have thought this through a little bit better than he did. Was this true? No, it was not true. It was an outright lie, plain and simple. I mean, you think about it. How is a weak and feeble guy who's not even able to take care of himself, how is he going to plot to take over a throne? He can't. There's no way. Whether that throne belonged to David or whether it belonged to Absalom. And we see here that David apparently bought the story. I think it's because, and we'll take a look more at this next week, I think because of the stress David was under. I think he was depressed. He wasn't thinking clearly. And I think it's revealed not only in these first four verses, but also in the rest of the chapter here. But the question we might ask is why? What caused Ziba to turn on Mephibosheth? Well, it's the same story that goes back all the way, you know, in history. You know, think about the sinfulness of men's hearts for a minute. Let's go back to Ziba's being called into service for Mephibosheth. Let me read to you 2 Samuel 9, verse 9 and 10. It says, "Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house." He didn't just get what belonged to Jonathan. He got all that belonged to Saul and Saul's house. "Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants, and it says that all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Now I want you to think of Ziba's damaged pride. You know, pride is the number one sin, isn't it? It's the original sin. When you think about Satan's sin against God, it came from pride. "I will ascend into heaven. I will be like the Most High." It's pride. Ziba went from serving the glorious King Saul. Think about that. And all the pride that went with it. He went from that to having him and all 15 of his sons and all 20 of his servants serving a lame guy. Think about that. Oh, the humiliation that had to bring. They did all the work, and the lame guy got all the fruits of their labors, and they got no glory. I mean, with Saul, there was some glory involved. You know, we serve the king, but now they serve a lame guy. Can you see what that might do to Ziba's pride? To go from working for a king one day to having the next king tell you that you've got to work for this lame guy who was the old king's grandson. Oh, the unfairness of it all. Not only think of Ziba's damaged pride, but I want you to think of Ziba's dominating envy. You think that Ziba's menial job that he and his family and his servants were given to do for Mephibosheth, with Mephibosheth getting all the fruit from it, ever caused Ziba to envy Mephibosheth? Man, he got all this stuff, you know, and he can't do nothing with it. We're having to take care of it for him. And they were envious of what Mephibosheth had. And on top of that, Mephibosheth was eating at the king's table. Now here they are out in the yard probably eating what they, you know, the fruits that they get from having worked for Mephibosheth, but they're not at the king's table. Think of Ziba seizing the opportunity here. If he could bring down Mephibosheth in David's eyes, he might get what we call a twofer. You ever heard of a twofer? Two for one? Yeah. He was counting on David buying the story like he did. and the results that came from that. He was counting on David saying, hey, all this is yours now. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But I'm also sure that he was counting on Mephibosheth not being around very long to counter his betrayal and slander. Think about this. He and his family and servants abandoned this lame guy. They left him back in Jerusalem. He's on his own. Right? They were supposed to be serving him, but now he's on his own. Left him to fend for himself. How was that going to work out for Mephibosheth? They probably expected that it would finish him off. Also, where did all the stuff that he brought to David come from? You see all this 200 loaves of bread, a couple of asses saddled, 100 bunches of raisins, 100 summer fruits and bottle. Where do you think all that stuff came from? It came from Mephibosheth's stores. It didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, it belonged to Mephibosheth. Now, I want you to think about it. They were servants. All that they had belonged to Mephibosheth. Yes, they were allowed to eat, but they were allowed to eat what they earned for Mephibosheth. So add some theft on top of the betrayal and slander here. Now, if that didn't finish Mephibosheth off, leaving him behind to fend for himself, he was probably counting on Absalom. I want you to think about it. Absalom's coming into town. What is the first thing that a new king does? Tries to eliminate all the people that are going to give him a problem. And here's one of Saul's sons, grandson, but he's one of Saul's descendants. But listen, he didn't count on Absalom thinking, this guy's not going to be a hindrance to me. Why should I bother killing him? Because he didn't kill him. Now, I know we're not told specifically what was going through Ziba's mind here or the intentions that he had, but you've got to admit that it doesn't take a genius to understand how Ziba's mind got him to this point, right? I mean, you can kind of read behind the scenes there, read between the lines, you can understand Ziba's planned this thing out. And he's thinking it's going to go one way and things are going real good for him. So far, David has cooperated and he's gotten what he wanted. So we see David's, really, his anger against Mephibosheth. Think about it. David has only heard one side of the story. Mephibosheth is not there to defend himself or to tell his side. And yet David plays right into Ziba's hands and let his anger get the best of him. And let me let you in on the truth that will help you if you'll take heed to it. Okay, this is something I've observed in the ministry the whole time I've been in ministry. There are always two sides to every story. And sometimes there's a third. Okay? There are always two sides to every story. And most of the time I found there are three. And what I mean by that is that usually the truth, the whole truth, is somewhere in the middle of it all. That wasn't the case here, but often that's the way it is. So David gets angry. He gives Ziba all that pertained to Mephibosheth. In our day, Ziba would have said, cha-ching. Boy, I figured that one out. I got that. He thinks he's got it in the bag. And at the moment he does. Although he's not in a real position to make a ruling. I'm talking about David. After he's a displaced king on the run, he's not really the one to make a ruling on this. He rules that all the property and wealth of Saul's house now belong to Ziba, not Mephibosheth. And this expressed faith on David's part that he would return to the throne and be able to make such a ruling. So he's already ruled without ever consulting Mephibosheth or anybody else. But it also, you think about it, it fills our hearts with sorrow and disappointment that David would make such an unjust judgment. Because that's not his normal character. And we'll talk about that next week when we take a look at I just don't think he was thinking clearly while he was being on the run. David's thinking doesn't appear to be very clear while he's got his mind on fleeing from Absalom. I'm sure he was thinking, how could Mephibosheth, after receiving the grace of David and the grace of God, be so ungrateful and evil? But he should have thought, there's no way in the world Mephibosheth is trying to take over the throne. You know, who's this guy think I am anyway? You know, I was born in the morning, but it wasn't yesterday morning. Yeah, that should have been his thoughts. And you know, when David returns to the throne, he's got in mind that he's going to deal with Mephibosheth, right? Well, let's look at the rest of the story. 2 Samuel 19. We're going to fast forward ahead. 2 Samuel 19, verse number 24. Let's find out the real story here of Mephibosheth. Because here, when we get to 2 Samuel 19, we find that Absalom has been killed in the battle, and the people accept David back, and he's returning as king in Jerusalem. And we're talking about some things that we'll be talking about later, but you got to know that in order to understand David's return to Jerusalem. And here in verse 24, look at verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Now, does that sound like somebody who's plotting a rebellion? From the day David left to the day he returned, Mephibosheth was in mourning. He didn't bother to do anything about his personal hygiene, it looks like. Look at verse 25. It says, and it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And really, Mephibosheth could have turned this on him and said, well, why didn't you make sure that the servants took me? He couldn't do for himself. And Mephibosheth was the first one to go see David when he returned. First one mentioned. But the question is begged, why didn't he go with David? Well, we can sense some anger in David's question there. Look at verse 26. And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. He's talking about Ziba. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto the Lord, my lord the king, but my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet thou didst set thy servant among them that eat at thy own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? Basically, we see here, Ziba told Mephibosheth, I'm going to take some supplies for David on your behalf. You stay here. But it's Mephibosheth's word here against Ziba's. But you look at the evidence. Who are you going to believe? I believe Mephibosheth. I don't know about you. Mephibosheth's a little more believable. There in verse 29... And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. Okay, so David seems to be confused about who to believe here. So he says, well, we'll just let y'all two split the land. You know, you can split the property, you and Ziba. But look, notice verse 30. And here we see the love that Mephibosheth had for David. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him, talking about Ziba, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house, man, you know, just let him have it. Here, we see that he was in mourning when David was gone, not taking care of his feet or even keeping up with his grooming. And when offered the land and riches of this world, he responds, "No, it's enough that I've got you back home. It's enough that you're back here with me." You know, there's no better picture of the New Testament believer than this. You know, we sing the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." To Mephibosheth, home was where David was at. Okay? To the believer, home is where Jesus is at. You know, we're longing for home. This ain't home. We're longing for our master to come back. And so now you know the rest of the story. Okay? All right. That's our Bible study for tonight. We'll have a word of prayer for our prayer needs tonight, and we'll be dismissed.